Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. 503-982-2033, Barclays, buysellpawn.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. We thank you for listening and hope you enjoyed the show and probably going to enjoy this, too. We'd like to thank also Painted Hills Natural Beef, as always. They've been a big supporter of ours and mine for years, and we really appreciate that. We're talking with Matt Pittman from Meat Church. And now this is the part that doesn't go out over the regular radio waves, Matt, so I can ask you some questions that we wouldn't normally ask probably on the other show. Okay. What's your biggest pain in the butt about all this?
You know, so I'll just say this, like, I'm dealing with the public again, and I'm a people person, right? I love people. My whole approach to business is like not trying to be better than anybody, but man, you know, when someone gets upset, just I still personally deal with the end-user customer service just because of the size of VR. It's important to me right now. It may not make sense forever. I mean, you just get unreasonable people, you know, and people – I think when people have a problem with something they buy online, they automatically want to talk to you like your Walmart or, you know, like they have to send the most scathing email or
– Right.
And the other thing I'll add to that, in the day and age of Amazon, everyone expects everything in 2 days, whether they're paying the Prime membership fee to Meat Church or not. And so we're really quick, but by and large, people talk about how quick we are, and we get great feedback. But it's like the once a week or whatever the case is, when somebody sends me something skating, it wears me out.
It does, and it should. Not to get off on the, you know, geopolitical spectrum or anything like that, but people have lost their manners. I think that.
Oh, totally.
I think the. The unpersonal way that we deal with things, especially online. I'm guilty of it, too, a few times. I'm sorry to say that, but I am. And then I always go back, and then I feel bad because I think somebody had to read that, and it's their job. And, you know, you probably didn't make their day any better, and they would have helped you if you had just pointed out the problem and said, can you help me, instead of coming off like, you know, Genghis Khan or something. So that's what
especially
I think.
Especially on Twitter. You talked about it, like just social media in general and Twitter, I think, is a big one where people are just flat out rude. You said it. You're right on. I mean, let's just say this. I'm not saying I support or don't support Trump, right? But
right.
If I say anything with Trump's name in it, it's a 50% loss before you even tweet it.
Yep.
And I feel like people have taken that approach to anything.
And oh, everything.
It's insane. And I want to look at people and be like, your parents must be super proud of how they raised you based on how you're talking to me right now.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the other thing is when you're talking about, you know, customer service or products or anything, again, you know, whether you're talking about the presidency or your local PTA, the way some of these people come off, and some of them I actually think believe that they're funny and they're not. Some of them think they're very witty. And they're not, at least in my book. I mean, I do this stuff for a living, so I guess I get a little different standard than most people. But when they come off just with knives and daggers and flamethrowers, and it's like, oh man, I don't even want to be around you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Completely agree. I mean, I save most of my bad social media stuff because, believe it or not, it bothers me. You know, I take it personal because I put my blood, sweat, and tears in this. It's like if I go in a restaurant and I have a bad experience, I'm not going to leave you a Yelp review, right? Like,
right.
I'm not a Yelp. And this is kind of the same thing. People feel like they got to throw their opinion out there. Well, it affects people. Like, these people don't understand, oh, this is my livelihood. And what you say is going to have a much bigger impact than me just giving you your money back because five or six people are going to read it or whatever the case is. And fortunately, I don't have a lot of that. Our people love us, got a great crowd, and my social audience generally self-polices for me. I'll tell you another funny thing about that. It's like, I've got a great social following, but when I go put stuff on YouTube, man, they're savage on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
So
You got to cowboy up if you're going to do that stuff on YouTube, man, because it's, they're just, you know, well, knowing what I know about trolls and all this, and I mean, I know a little bit about it, obviously. It's just like, when you first read it at first blush, it's like, man, these people got to get a life. You know, they just, is that all you do is sit there with a laptop or your cell phone all day and just troll people and write this? I mean, oh, you have to edit that out. But anyway, you know, it's like, it's not good. Anyway.
Well, I've got some friends that are, you know, barbecue's got a lot of big people, physically big dudes. And, you know, I'm not one of those guys, but I'm an anomaly. And so I've got some friends that are, like, well-known on YouTube, and they tell me, they're like, man, if you read the comments, the amount of people tell me that I'm going to die of diabetes and all this stuff. It's like, anyway, enough about that rant. You got my sore spot with that question.
Well, I didn't mean to, but it's just something that, you know, if you're in the public eye with anything these days, you get it. I do a lot of live TV up here in the Northwest, and... you know, I've gained some weight over the past few years because I got hurt, and it's a long story and I don't need to go into it. But anyway, and they'll say, you know, the food looks great, but he looks like they should tie strings on him and fly him in Macy's parade or something like that. You know, it's like, oh, dude, crazy. Thanks, man. Anyway, is there something in barbecue you want to do, but you haven't done yet, Matt?
You know, I think that I look at some of the cool events, like there's, so Barbecue Internationally is really doing really, really well. I went to Australia last year and taught barbecue, and I've been on record saying that I think that Australian barbecue is probably the second hottest market outside of the U.S. Like, they really want to be American barbecue. So there's some cool festivals I see, like, you know, this one in this past weekend, Big Grill Festival in Europe. Like, I'm like, you know what, I'd love to go cook at that, just throw down some major live fire stuff. And every time you go to these new things, you meet all these new people, and people are just so happy to be sharing that kind of food. It's such a blast. Like, doing events like that are by far and away my favorite thing. But so there's a couple big bucket list festivals I would love to be invited to. And then I've got this desire to come out with a hole in my offering, which is, we don't sell barbecue sauce today. We're mainly seasoning. And I said, you know, I want to be like kind of a one-stop shop to tell you how to make amazing barbecue, and I want to have everything you need to do that. And so I've got to perfect and find the right partner to work on with sauce and kind of get that rolling.
Sauces are tricky. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but sauces are tricky because you can create what you think is the most perfect sauce in your kitchen. And I'm actually speaking to the listeners now of this, but to get it from your kitchen, to get it manufactured, to get it bottled, you know, to get it cooked and bottled and preserved and all that stuff, and to get it on the store shelf, that's a tough gig sometimes, because there's lots of them. Like, you know, 20 years ago, you went into a store, or even 15 years ago, you didn't see that many rubs. Now there's lots of rubs, but the sauces fall under, you know, because of how they have to be prepared and stored and things like that. They fall under a bit of a different category. So it's a tough journey on that.
It is. And it's real regional, you know, like, they say in Texas, good barbecue doesn't need sauce, but you use it in comp. And I love, so if you just had like a little souffle cup of sauce, I love barbecue sauce. Like, it's a great tasting condiment.
Sure.
So I like it anyway. But in my store, you know, we sell a range of sauces that are all friends of mine from different parts of the country. So like tomorrow I'll be posting a picture of like a chicken with Alabama white sauce. It's not for everybody, but it's super good. And like, come by and want to try it. So anyway, and there's a lot of opinions around it. That's for sure.
How far do you ship your products, especially the meats? I mean, are they pretty much confined to Texas or the Midwest, or do you ship them all over the world now?
No. So it's all just barbecue supplies, and we're worldwide. I mean, we've got Canadian, UK, Scandinavian, and Australian distribution. And obviously we're all over the U.S. But that's really been kind of a cool, fun thing about the brand. You know, we don't have a sales force. We're up to, I don't know, somewhere around 600 retail stores, plus all that distribution I mentioned, and it's all come to us. So, I mean, you know, obviously there's a lot of effort in evangelizing what we do, but it's just organically grown to that, which is super, super cool.
Well, that's great. I mean, again, when I was talking about the sauces and the rubs, if you get distributors and stuff involved in that, there goes a few points on your bottom line. So, you know.
Yeah, we're trying to – I call it self-distribution. We handle it all ourselves right now within the U.S., and we get offers all the time to do distribution, but I'm like, it's not right for us right now or whatever. So, we're just kind of keeping it all in-house. Just like I said earlier, it may not scale forever, but it works for right now.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Is there anything that you've wanted to cook, to barbecue, to grill, to whatever, that you haven't done it yet and it's still ticking around in the back of your mind?
Not really. I mean, there's not a lot that I don't feel like that I haven't done. I think so as far as like animals or proteins, I can't think of anything. But it's more about style. Like I love to throw on Netflix and look at like Asian flavors or, look at street food. And it's about taking the meat that I cook my way and totally learning another way to cook it. So I'm really, really enamored with that. Like I wish I had all the money in the world to get on a plane and just go to different regions and watch what someone else would do with beef or chicken or pork or whatever. Like I love Asian food, so not to just harp on that, but I can't think of many animals I haven't smoked. It's just I want to know how to do it different ways and with different flavors.
Have you got to do the armadillos with the Lone Star beer bottles yet on the side of the road?
None of that.
Okay.
But I'll give you an example. So I'm part of this Barbecue Stars thing that just came out, and so I'm alongside 10 people that I really respect. Meathead's one, Harry Sue's one, Tuffy Stone, Dave Bosca, et cetera, and a bunch of chefs. And Harry's is, I'm really enamored by it because it's like full-on Asian flair on what he does. So it's not just like, here's how you make, competition ribs. He has a table full of, it looks like the entire Asian row at the grocery store, Asian aisle. And so that's the sort of thing I'm like, ooh, I want to, that catches my eye. So that's kind of what I want to do more of.
Well, you'll get there. Are you going to write a book at some point?
That's a great question. So I have turned down multiple book offers, but, it like kind of validates you to a degree. But the main reason I've turned it down was like last year was the best one I'd had yet. And I thought, there's no way. Like, I just can't put all this stuff on hold to go devote the time needed to do that book. But in my store, I sell books from friends of mine. And so it's kind of like you want it on your resume, so I'm not going to say no. I just haven't had the time or, I guess, the right situation yet. So at some point, I think it probably will make sense for me.
There you go. Matt Pittman, I appreciate you, buddy, being on the Barbecue Nation today. We'll keep following up with you. Good luck. Sounds like you're doing great, but continue the good luck. How's that?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and kind of share my passion with your audience.
No worries. We'll be back next week. Don't forget, turn it, don't burn it. And this is JT and After Hours with Matt Pittman. You take care, everybody.